how God amazingly blessed her faith. And here in chapter 3, Israel is about to cross the Jordan over near Jericho and enter into the promised land, finally. So chapter 3, verse 1, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Chittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which we must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. It came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is, beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So I've entitled tonight, Step First. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would grow and learn through your word tonight as we contemplate this amazing event of Israel finally entering the promised land. May we take heart from their faith and from your provision and protection, and may we apply it to our own walk. May you be glorified. Use your word now in our hearts, each one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 3 days they waited. Now, the spies also waited 3 days. I don't know if it's the same 3 days as the spies' 3 days that they waited before they returned. Remember, the king was looking for them, and they had went and hid for 3 days before they returned. And then after they crossed over, as you will see in the next chapters, then they had a Passover and they had a circumcision of this new generation, and they had to wait for them to heal. So I appreciate Ethan pointing out last week that I said tomorrow was when the people in Jericho would die. It wasn't tomorrow. It was a couple of weeks. So I'm not infallible, but this book is. Amen? So you catch something, tell me. But it wasn't tomorrow. It was. We don't even know how long, because they did have the circumcision, as you'll see. We aren't told how long they waited till they healed of the circumcision. Again, they had a Passover. They waited for the 3 days. And then, of course, they marched around Jericho for another 7 days. So it was at least a couple of weeks from last week's events until Jericho fell. But interestingly, in verse 3, he says, when you see it, go after it. Amen? Now, remember, this ark was covered in pure gold. And if you study it out in the scriptures, gold represents righteousness. Now, brass represents judgment when we're talking metals. But gold represents righteousness. So who would this picture if it represents righteousness but the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ? Does God want us to follow him into the promised land? Of course he does. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and what? Follow me. Sacrifice, right? Take up your cross and follow me into the promised land. But interestingly enough, in verse 4, they had to have a space. And nobody really knows the exact length of a cubit, but this would have been about a kilometer, plus or minus 10%. Brother Brent, that helps. So they weren't allowed to be just behind those carrying the ark. They had to be a kilometer behind those carrying the ark. Why would God say that? Well, because they were to follow, but they couldn't follow close. What did that picture? Well, it pictured the fact that sin hadn't been paid for yet. You and I, we can follow, but we can follow close. Amen? We don't have to go through a priest like they did. We can follow Jesus, and he can be right there. Why is that? We'll look at Mark 15:38, and we will see. And so God always teaching, just in these little things that sometimes we might miss, always teaching something. And here, why did they have to follow a kilometer behind? Sin had not been paid for yet. So they were to follow the righteousness. They were to follow the representative, what was representative of Jesus, but not too close. But what happened when Jesus went to Calvary, Mark 15:38. Most of you know this. It says, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Amen? Now, this veil that was in the temple in Jerusalem, man could not have done this. This veil was super thick, super tightly woven. Only Almighty God could have done this, and he did. But why? Well, again, God's always teaching us something. And remember, the high priest was only allowed into the Holy of Holies once a year. But why did God tear this veil from top to bottom after Jesus went to Calvary? Because no more veil. No more restrictions for entering the Holy of Holies because sin had been paid for. Amen? And that's why we're told in Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16, that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. Israel could not come boldly unto the throne of grace. But we can, because the veil's been torn. There is no more earthly temple. There is no more Holy of Holies on earth. It's in heaven, and we can enter whenever we want to bow the knee in the name of and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God was always teaching them. And this is another example of that. Verse 5, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders, referring to the river standing on a heap and then walking through on dry ground. Sanctify yourselves. I believe if Christians would sanctify themselves more, that God would do more wonders among us. So what does it mean to sanctify ourselves? Well, look at John 17:19. It means to set ourselves apart, to do what needs to be done in our own Christian lives that we might get closer to and more prepared to serve God with all that we are. Jesus said here in John 17:19, referring to the future, he says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth, which is the word of God. But if you go to 2 Timothy 2, post-Calvary, verse 21, how do we sanctify ourselves? Well, God tells us in this passage, verse 20 we'll start, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. Like we talked this morning, some Christians are fruitful, some Christians are unfruitful. Some are gold and silver, some are wood and earth. What makes the difference? Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, referring back to the sins earlier in the chapter, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Wouldn't you rather be a vessel unto honor instead of a vessel unto dishonor? What makes the difference? We've got to be sanctified. We've got to be set apart. We've got to remove anything out of our lives that hinders us from being what? Meet and prepared to serve God. And so Joshua said, sanctify yourselves. Get rid of anything that some of them would have still had little idols from their past. Some of them would have still had things that they shouldn't have had. He said, clean that stuff out. Tomorrow's a big day. We're finally going into the promised land. Sanctify yourselves. Prepare yourselves for that day. So verse 6, take up the ark, pass over before the people. They took up the ark of the covenant, and then they went before the people. Of course, Jesus leads the way, shows us where to go. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And for thousands of years, God has chosen to use men to do his work. He chose one man to lead millions of people out of Egypt, didn't he? His name was Moses. He chose one man to be the greatest king Israel ever had, and that was David. God still uses men. And here he says, I'm now going to use you, Joshua, because Moses is in heaven. So verse 8, thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. Aren't you thankful that our God is a living God? Hallelujah. So many religions worship someone that has died, has a tomb, has a grave. We follow someone who came back from the dead. Amen. He is living. He lives within my heart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Amen. Our God is a living God. And he says, the Ark of the Covenant, verse 11, passeth over before you. Therefore take you 12 men out of every tribe of man. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan. Now, this is a little bit different than when they crossed the Red Sea, isn't it? When they crossed the Red Sea, Moses just did this, and God opened up the Red Sea, and the people walked across. And here God says, as soon as their feet go into the water, I will open up the Jordan River. What's different? This is a new generation. This new generation is going to walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. You got to put your feet in first. Then I will put the waters up in a heap and give you dry ground. But not until you take that step. Amen. Not until you believe, because the waters are high. They're flood levels. So it would have been a little bit scary. They're carrying this heavy ark made out of gold. He says, I'm not going to do it until your feet touch the water. What are we told? 2 Corinthians 5:7. Let's turn there. As we go into the promised land, does God want us to walk by sight or by faith? Everybody knows the answer to that, don't they? Up to this point, Israel has been led by sight, haven't they? Everything that happened that they saw as negative, what did they do but complain, murmur? And then every time God worked a miracle, they said, God is great and wonderful. Every time something happened that they weren't happy with, God brought us out here to kill us. It was all about their circumstances, all about what was happening around them. Oh, there's no food. Oh, there's no water. Oh, we're without this. We're without that. What are we going to do? God brought us out here to kill us. Think about how dumb that statement is. Why would we go to all that trouble to kill all those soldiers, bring them across the Red Sea, miraculously lead them with a pillar, only to kill them? But, you know, when you're walking by sight, that's the way it goes. 2 Corinthians 5:7, every Christian should know this verse, short verse, good memory verse. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And I believe that God has great things planned for every one of His children, that He wants every one of us to cross the Jordan River into the promised land of the victorious Christian life. But I believe He wants us to take that first step. We need to sanctify ourselves. We need to be following the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to go forward in faith. That's what they did in Hebrews 11, isn't it? By faith they did this, by faith they did this, by faith they did this. That's what God wants us to do. To not sit back and say, well, Lord, as soon as you do this, then I'll go forward and serve you. God says, no, you go forward. You serve me first. You put that foot first. You go forward in faith, and you know what I'll do? I'll bless. I'll stand those waters up. I'll dry that ground. I'll protect you. But you need to take the first step. That's how faith works. You know, you've heard over and over me say that love is action, so is faith. I mean, look at Hebrews 11. How many times? Let's look at it quickly. I know I've pointed this out probably too many times. But how many times does God use action verbs to describe what these people did? What? By faith. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered. He did something. Right? That's called walking by faith. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Oh, sorry, that was verse 7. By faith, Abraham, what did he do? He obeyed and went out. Think about what a step that was, to leave his homeland, to go to some place he'd never been because God told him to. That's called walking by faith. And we could go on and on. All these things that these people did by faith. Moses, verse 23, or his parents, I'm sorry, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. God is now teaching them. It's time to live by faith. You know what's going to happen as soon as they get across the Jordan River? The man is going to stop. What do you think that's teaching them? Not going to throw food at you anymore. No more free meals. Now you're going to work for your meals. Does God throw free food at us? Or do we have to go work for it? Then he should not work, neither should he eat, right? 2 Thessalonians 3:10. New generation, new plan. I want you to walk by faith. I will part those waters as soon as your feet touch the brim. So verse 14, it came to pass when the people were moved from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant for the people. Verse 15, and as they bear the Ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down stood and rose up. But not until their feet were dipped in the brim. It might seem minor, but it's everything God did was to teach something. So he's teaching them a lot of things in these instructions about the day that they've been waiting for a very, very long time. Centuries they've been waiting for this time when they finally get to go into the land that is theirs. The victorious Christian life is already ours. But we need to be willing to step first, sanctify ourselves, follow Jesus, and go. And watch God work. And God will give us Jericho. And God will give us Ai. And God will give us all these other cities. But we've got to take that first step of faith. We've got to step first. And if we do, only heaven will tell what God has planned for us on the other side of Jordan. God wants to use every single one of us to do great things for Him. He does not ever in the Scriptures say, get saved, and I'm going to help you live a mediocre Christian life. You aren't going to show me a verse that says that. No, you get saved. Now you have the God of the universe, who we just sang about, right? This is my Father's world. I'm going to indwell you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to lead you every step of the way. Does that sound like a God that wants us to just stay in the desert and wander around for however long? Or a God that wants us to cross over and start defeating all these things that are hindering us from being the Christian He wants us to be? Taking the Jerichos, taking these other, well, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and all these ites. He wants them all out. Now, could God have just said, I'll tell you what, just before you cross over, let me rain down fire and brimstone like I did with Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me wipe them all out so you can just go over and take over their cities. He could have done that. Amen. I mean, He's about to part the waters. He's about to work all these miracles. Jericho's just going to fall. But that's the only one that just fell, isn't it? After that, you get your swords out and you go fight. You fight for every single piece of land. Why? What's He teaching? We got to fight for the victorious Christian life because the devil doesn't want us to live it. The flesh doesn't want us to live it. The world doesn't want us to live it. God's waiting for us to take that first step. Step first, watch the waters part, go over, and start taking the land. Amen? Live that life that God has for every single one of us. It is He. Look at Philippians 2:13, and we'll finish there. God has a plan for you and for me, and He wants to use each one of us. And never forget 2:13, it is God, what? Which worketh you both to, in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? You know, we're always quoting 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But 2:13 says, God has a will for you. And if you will cross the Jordan River and start getting that sword out, He will also do it. But we have to get the sword out. We got to step first. And next week, they'll be in the land. How long have they waited? How many centuries have they waited to be in the land? Hallelujah. Step first. Amen. By faith, let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this amazing lesson about the golden ark, about the sanctification, about the distance that they had to travel behind. Lord, about stepping first into the water. So many lessons. I pray we would take them on board. Realize what You want from us is to step first and go in and start fighting for the life You want us to live, the abundant Christian life. Thank You for speaking to us.